Welcome, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. That's a little special Mariah Carey shout-out for our friend Greg at Carroll University. We've been talking about some lies that were told over the weekend and kind of leaning into loving one another, just as we all are. We're going to bring out my guest, Steve Taylor, in just a moment, but I want to take one more very patient caller who waited through the break. Tom from McFarland, you're on The Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say, sir?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And, you know, I love how the right wing feel that they have a lock on Christianity. Because if you take a look at the New Testament, the four, Gospels of the Apostles, they all have differences, but there's one thing that they're very much in common with, and that is how Jesus took steps and pains to associate with those whom the authorities felt were not worthy of God's love. He made sure to go to the prostitutes, the thieves, the criminals, etc., etc. And the Pharisees at the time, that's why they were upset with Jesus, because they were telling Jesus, hey, according to God's law, according to the book, God doesn't love these people. They should be scorned. They should be shunned. And he was adamant that, no, that's not the way this works.
And yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Tom. Sorry, your sound a little hard to hear you. But Tom's point was, you look at any one of the Gospels in the New Testament, there's one theme, and that is that Jesus hobnobbed with the least of us, and that his message was that everyone is worthy of our love and God's love. Such an important message. And here's what else I'll say. No political party should be able to, or we should allow them to sort of lay claim to any religious tradition or faith. Politics ain't religion, and when you mix the two together, some dangerous things can happen. But talking about hobnobbing with the least of us, I'm just kidding, Steve. I'm bringing out maybe Steve's hobnobbing with me, the least of us, but at least getting together with folks that don't always agree with us. I'm very happy to welcome friend of the show, my conservative buddy, Steve Taylor, current Milwaukee County Supervisor. Welcome, Steve. Happy post-election day.
Hey, I got another 2 years in me, so that's good. It was a fun night.
It was a fun night. Congratulations on your reelection. Smooth sailing for you.
Well, a write-in challenge, got like 150 votes. So I was really sweating.
Yeah.
Really scared about that.
A nail biter there.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So Steve and I, we saw each other both at David Crowley's watch party and also at Mayor Johnson's watch party. It was really nice to be there and celebrate with you. And I just want to hat tip to you, Steve. I have incredible respect for folks like yourselves, Democrats as well, that really cross the aisle and are support one another and support candidates that get things done regardless of the little initial that might come at the end of our names. Yes. So hats off to you, Steve. I think you're an A number one dude.
Well, the thing is, we have to work together. There's a lot of challenges in Milwaukee County, a lot of challenges in the city of Milwaukee. And, if we spend all of our time fighting with each other instead of working together for the greater good, I just think we're really missing the big picture. And I think the voters, they want to see things get done. And I think they're sick and tired of the divisiveness, the infighting. They see what goes on in Madison. They see what goes on in Washington. We don't have to act that way. And so to me, going to County Executive Crowley's event and Mayor Johnson, it's like, let's continue to work together. We're going to have differences, but at the end of the day, we want to make this county, City of Milwaukee, Franklin, Oak Creek, all the places a better place.
Amen to that. I mean, everybody that's listening, Steve, is applauding, me included, because that is what it should be. Government should be working for us, not busying ourselves with fighting amongst one another, right? It's like, that is such an enormous waste of time.
No, and I love a good fight, though. Trust
Heck
me.
Yeah.
We'll have some issues that we'll be battling on, probably even on this radio show over the next next few months or whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, we got to come together on things and compromise. And we did that with the ceasefire, a couple weeks ago. We'll continue to do that. Other big issues facing us. So, yeah, hopefully we can just kind of bring civility back. That's what I like to see, at least.
Absolutely. And I think that's, if you asked every single Wisconsin voter, if that was a freaking referendum question, right, it'd be like, yes, be civil to one another, especially when you disagree. That's how you make disagreement productive. Tell folks a little bit about the compromise that was struck with the Milwaukee County's Gaza ceasefire resolution.
Well, I mean, it was really pitting, two religions and two, demographics, I would say, against each other. And that's not what we should have been arguing. We should have been arguing about ending the violence, ending the murdering of innocent women and children, releasing hostages, getting humanitarian aid, just being human again, instead of fighting over a word or language that was maybe meant to be more divisive. And that was controversial, and one side was not going to move, and like literally, my great friend Supervisor Clancy, puts out a press release afterwards chastising the board for compromises, and then tries to take credit for, hey, Milwaukee County is now one of 100 plus that have passed this. It's like, wait a second, you voted no, so the compromise was just saying end the violence, release hostages, we want a ceasefire. Let's look at humanitarian aid. Let's just get back to being civil again, end the violence. And that's what the county board adopted, but it was 10-8. So like even in a compromise, it could barely pass. So that was frustrating. It took hours of debate and discussion, and it shouldn't have gotten to that level, but it did. And hopefully, people are happy. But once again, this was a federal issue, not a Milwaukee County board issue,
That's what I think is really interesting. And listen, I'm not going to tell politicians what they should spend their time doing, but I will talk about it. And I continue to think it's an enormous waste of time, and it unnecessarily exploits people's understandably very strong feelings. And sometimes personal affiliation, people have family, they're a member of different faith groups, or they identify with different groups, and you exploit the pain and the trauma of these situations by making people feel like Milwaukee County is going to have something to do with the United States foreign policy towards Gaza, Hamas, a terrorist organization in Israel. No one's listening to what Milwaukee County says about foreign policy, with all due respect.
No, and that's what's sad, is literally some people left the room thinking that like a ceasefire now is going to happen. And that's sad. But they were tricked and they were fooled. And that's why, some elected officials, and I'm glad that his day is coming, that's Clancy, and hopefully his day in Madison's coming to come on August primary. But like that individual like him are all about him and promoting themselves instead of doing, like I said, the greater good for Milwaukee County and its residents. We have like real challenges these next 4 years. And if we don't focus on those issues instead of, get into the muck federal issues, then we'll have real problems we're not going to be able to address.
Yeah, we're seeing that same garbage play out in the state of Texas. Greg Abbott acting like all of a sudden the state of Texas is going to be the border defenders. No, that's the federal government. We've got enough problems in each of these jurisdictions to keep our hands busy and our minds busy and our debates full and robust without wading into these things. And again, you said it. It's basically a lie, right? And I don't care if the lie is coming from a progressive or a Republican. When you lie to people and you make them feel like you can do something, or that you're elevating their issue in a way that is just total garbage, it needs to get called out. And frankly, that's been Ryan Clancy's stock and trade. It's self-promotion by exploiting the pain, trauma, and emotions of people to promote himself, when he knows whatever it is that he's touting or whatever the next resolution is ain't going to do a damn thing and likely won't get passed. He's done it again and again and again.
Yeah. And it is really disgusting and inhumane, right? It's put through people through trauma, and like you said, when you have family members overseas and they've lost loved ones, it's real personal to them. And he's using that to his political advantage. But I think it's going to backfire, and I think it'll be the disadvantage. I think people have had enough, because his handpicked successor got beat
badly
in Bayview. So I think that sent the message. And if I was him, I'd look in the mirror and say, what am I going to do to turn this around? Because there's a storm coming his way.
I hope that storm comes for every single Democrat and Republican that engages in what I term performative politics, which is the exploitation of others, the exploitation of power or leverage or platform purely for the purposes of self-promotion. Yep. When you do that, you are violating your oath. You're violating what you said you were going to do as an elected official, which is to serve others, to serve your constituents. If you're serving your own ego, you ain't doing that. Period.
Well, I think you gave that speech last month for the county board cycle when you honored women in history. You kind of closed out the program with some similar words, and we all knew what you were speaking to. So appreciate that.
Heck yeah, Steve. Anya, we'll put a link to that speech in our show notes, so I'll send that to you afterwards. Yeah, I address this in the context of what allyship and lifting up others actually looks like. And it ain't co-opting. It's not cultural appropriation. It's not appropriating issues. And it's not exploiting others and their pain to make yourself get on the front page of the Journal Sentinel or the Washington Examiner or whatever the heck it is.
Now, I know.
I've done that job for 7 years at the county. I was finally off the payroll, so I could actually sort of say what I thought.
Yeah.
And I hope most people in that room know what I'm talking about.
You always did kind of sneak in what you thought sometimes.
If you were listening really carefully, I would try to sneak it in there a little bit.
Well, I did.
You admitted to me last night, we're going to queue this up, take a couple of quick messages, Steve, and we'll come back with you. But you admitted to me last night that you regretted a recent vote that you took, and you're going to get another bite at the apple. If you want to hear the vote that Steve wishes he had back and that he's going to have another crack at, you're going to want to keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. I've got my guest, County Board Supervisor, conservative friend of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. If you got questions for Steve or I, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked to hear, what the hell did Steve actually screw up that he wants to fix when we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show?
Show.
I got a man who'll take a chance. I'm joined this half hour on the Maggie Dawn Show by supervisor from Milwaukee County, Steve Taylor, friend of the show. Welcome back, Steve. Glad to have you.
Yep. Glad to be here.
Queued up right before we went to break. That a vote just went down not so long ago that you wish you had back. Tell folks what that is and the way it's coming back to the board for another go at it.
Yeah, so there was a vote regarding pay raises for some constitutional officers, which have been the county clerk, the treasurer, and register of deeds. And it came up, it was brought up like from the bottom of the agenda to the top right after the ceasefire vote when people were just kind of getting back their wherewithal on that. And it was, there was an amendment that was made in personnel that went from an 11% raise to what turned out to be a 36% raise. And I voted for it along with 15 of my other colleagues. Actually, Supervisor Clancy was out of the room, and only Supervisor Wasserman voted no. And it was one that even on the agenda, I circled as something that would have been held out for discussion. And it just kind of moved through. And then the executive vetoed it. And now we're going to get another kick at the cat, right? And so I'm glad that we'll be able to have this conversation. And I plan on sustaining the veto at a special meeting, which I think is going to be the 11th, maybe. It's Friday, next Friday. So, I think when you look at these individuals, the people that you have to work with, and, the administration, did a study and came up with the 11%. But I try to look at what the work that's done in committee. They're doing the hard work, and having the discussion and the debate, and they approved that amendment. And, you know, I should have questioned it and I didn't. And that's, you know, shame on me. And I'm never going to admit to being perfect. And I'm sure there's votes over my career going back to when I was 21 as an alderman in La Crosse that I wish I could have back. Luckily, this one, you know, we do get that chance. And it's difficult when you have to work with these people and you respect the job that they do. But at the same time, it's also, it's funded by the taxpayers. It doesn't have a very good look. And thankfully the county executive, you know, sent down the veto and we can have this discussion and see where people stand on it. So I know what I'm going to do. And, you know, I'm not sure the rest of what the county board is, where they stand on this, but I'm willing to, you know, admit that, you know, I erred in my vote and we'll correct it.
I give you a lot of credit, Steve. It takes a big person to say, hey, I screwed that one up. I want to get it right this time. And I wanted to emphasize what I think is really interesting here for folks that have never observed actual legislative meetings. You know, we'll see little clips of things that happen from Congress or little snippets on the local news if it's coming from a common council or a village board. But what you just described, I want to kind of set the stage for people because I think it's really something to be aware of. What happened was a supervisor used effectively a parliamentary trick, if you will, a procedural rule to change the order of the agenda. And as a strategic matter, what the county board had gone through was this really contentious, gut-wrenching, emotional, exhausting debate over the ceasefire resolution. There was a lot of folks in the gallery, a lot of high running emotions. There had been a nearly hour and a half presentation that began the day that was for Women's History Month, and then you moved into the ceasefire resolution. So it had been a long morning. People were tired. And then there was this procedural maneuver and this item was brought up. And it basically kind of slipped through. In other words, human beings, legislators are human beings, elected officials are human beings. We're freaking exhausted. I don't think people basically had the gumption, had the energy to have another debate with their one of their colleagues, one of the guys whose raise was being debated, is standing right in the room. That's hard to stomach. And yeah. So I think people were just sort of fatigued. Am I reading that right, Steve?
No, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, like I said, it was contentious. I mean, I was one of the last to speak on the ceasefire and you know, gave a speech, I think a passionate speech about what we should do. And then, you know, we recessed briefly to kind of clear the room. And all of a sudden we call the roll and Supervisor Alexander, who was leaving for the day, like leaving, going to be gone, no more votes, decided out of all the 70 items left on the agenda, this is the one she wanted to move forward. And she moves that one forward and you have to suspend the rules unless there's an objection, and no one did. And so all of a sudden it was called, the vote was just called, and it was name by name by name. And it just went through and like not even really thinking. And that's not really acceptable that a vote could slip through like that when you think about it. Especially,
but it's human. These things happen. Yep.
But this is what I was getting at about focusing on issues that affect Milwaukee County.
Yep.
Is you sit there and you get into a long debate, a couple hours on the ceasefire. And then when you actually have county business, you're mentally wiped out. And at Intergovernmental a few weeks earlier, it was 4.5 hours of the ceasefire. And we didn't even get to the four actual county items that we need to deal with because you lost a quorum. So focus, we should always focus on the issues that affect Milwaukee County residents. And nothing else, or these things can happen because they're a distraction. And we were distracted, and a vote was made, and I made a bad vote, and now we can correct it. So, I mean, no harm, no foul, potentially.
Yeah.
And now it brought a lot of scrutiny to the vote. And yeah. you actually had Bruce Murphy on after me 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Or a month ago to talk about this, right? So, I guess, like I said, hopefully, no harm, no foul, but that doesn't mean that we don't think the people do a good job, doesn't think that whether they deserve it or not, but like, this is taxpayer dollars and we got to take them serious and these decisions serious. But that you laid out, that was exactly the scenario. And it's unfortunate, but
So if you want to know, like, what does Gaza have to do with the raises for three county elected officials? This, because someone, namely Ryan Clancy, who wants to engage in performative politics and raise his own personal profile, sucks all the oxygen out of the room for 2+ hours. And then the real business of Milwaukee County that'll have a cost to taxpayers of $250,000 gets short shrift because the guy wanted to grandstand. Shame on you, Ryan Clancy. Shame on you. And it happened in the IGR, which is Intergovernmental Relations Committee, a couple of weeks before. Same damn thing. And this, my friends, whether it's Ryan Clancy, a progressive, or it's a nut
socialist.
Job, a socialist.
Socialist, yeah.
Democratic socialist, he would say, to be fair. Or another wing nut, Marjorie Taylor Greene, wasting and sucking up oxygen in the U.S. Congress so that nothing gets done. This is the problem. I think this is what makes people so ticked off about government, Steve.
Right. I agree. That's why I said I think people want us to work together and come to compromises when we can, you know, and sometimes you're just not going to get there. But you better try.
That's the point.
But if you have a civil debate and you lay out the facts and not lies, then we'll get to a decision. And sometimes people are going to be happy and the other side not. But hopefully good government can come out for the most part. And that's what I've always tried to do. But sometimes it's not easy because it becomes personal.
Yes.
Your personal feelings towards the other individual, and you should
check them
at the door.
I'm so sorry, Steve. I got to let you go. My personal feelings for you is gratefulness. Keep fighting the good fight, Steve, and telling them all the truth. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My thanks to Milwaukee County Board Supervisor Steve Taylor, fresh off a re-election win, for spending some time with us. Steve and I are going to be chopping it up on the regular every 2 weeks. Steve will join the Maggie Dawn Show. He's a conservative, a traditional Republican, and I'm sure we will find our way to some fruitful and respectful disagreements. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having you. We were talking a bit about the raises that are proposed and are under debate currently in Milwaukee County for three constitutional elected officials. In my opinion, these are unwarranted. The scale of the raise is simply unprecedented. I've never seen any raise proposed for any elected official equal to 36%. These are functionary positions. This is nothing against the individuals who hold these offices, but they don't necessitate a raise. If anybody should be getting raises in Milwaukee County, it should be people who are rank and file public employees, not elected officials who get to bask in the limelight, get their names in the news. That's what you sign up, you know. That's the perks of being an elected official. You're not accountable to really anybody because voters don't know what the hell these positions do anyways. They don't care. $250,000 it's going to cost Milwaukee County taxpayers. When we just asked them to pay more in sales tax, you don't go and give a 36% damn raise to elected officials that hold, again, functionary positions. And here's the other thing. If any of these three gentlemen are personally lobbying any Milwaukee County Board of Supervisor, it is an ethics violation because they are using their position as an elected official to try to gain a personal benefit. That is an ethics violation. That's things one. I've heard arguments that Milwaukee County Ordinance 17.98 requires the raises. It does not. If they want to sue Milwaukee County for these raises, I say go ahead. If you don't want to, the Office of Corporation Counsel that I used to work in couldn't handle, can't take the case because you'd have two clients suing each other. I am available for that litigation. You can hire me. I will defend Milwaukee County because Ordinance 17.98 does not require the raises. It just says they're department heads. They should be compensated accordingly. That is a matter of judgment. They were being paid like a dollar. That would be a violation. But they get paid $91,000. Issue done. Now, so ethics violation, that's thing one. Thing two is go ahead and sue. Y'all can hire me. I will defend the county. No legal requirement for a raise of this magnitude. Hell no. That'd be a fun case. That would be a fun case. Here's thing three. One of the guys up for this ridiculous, unprecedented, taxpayer-robbing, $250,000 costing 36% raise is the Milwaukee County Clerk. Guess who presides over the meeting as the parliamentarian in which his raise is being discussed, Anya?
Could it? It wouldn't be the clerk, would it?
It would be the clerk.
Oh, no.
Here's my opinion. It's an ethics violation for him to be acting as the clerk during the meeting when the agenda item is being discussed where it's his raise under discussion. If he presided as the clerk during that item's discussion at the last county board meeting, I call that an ethics violation. What he should do is step down and have his deputy, his second in command, perform those functions during the debate. That's my legal advice. That one was for free.
First taste is free. There you go.
That's right. I'm like a drug dealer for good legal advice. You get the taste for free. Okay. If you were watching on YouTube, I just fumbled my glasses. You got to watch us sometime. First of all,
that was amazing Foley, actually, the sound of all that. That was great.
Yes. Fumbled my glasses. You can always watch us. YouTube, the platform formerly known as Twitter, and Facebook. But I promised you a discussion of the blasphemous Donald Trump. And I think, Anya, I want to start with the sound from the rally. So if you want to cue that up. Now, let me just set the stage. Donald Trump was just at a rally yesterday in Oshkosh. It was weird. We're not going to listen to anything that he said yesterday because the man is just a pack of bloviating bull pucky.
Our host, Pete Schwabe in Green Bay, was at the rally. He's got coverage. Go listen to Nightlight if you want
you
that. We're doing other
Nightlight.
Stuff.
We're doing other stuff. We're going to go on the offense, yeah. As one of our callers asked us to go. Here's what's happening at the end of Trump rallies. By the way, this is sort of like a mix between weird cult happening, rock concert, and Joseph Goebbels. Like, it's that's the vibe. And then you throw in like a dose of Bible-selling, gold sneaker-wearing, red hat-toting Christian revival. And that'll about get you there, right? Joseph Goebbels, rock concert, cult, plus Christian tent revival. They have now started they bring out preachers. They talk about how Trump is basically God and a martyr and he's going to save us all and he's the only one that can do. And they like lay hands on him. And everybody bows their head and they play like religious-y music. So what you're going to hear is some of these preachers praying over Trump at a rally not too long ago. Let her rip on you.
This is one of the greatest men. And before we start out, we'd like to pray over him. And we know we are people of prayer. So will you stretch your hands and pass President Trump? These are some of your greatest faith leaders.
Can you pause it for a second? Anybody else remember when people sort of raise a hand up in the air when that happened? It's some kind of a salute. They said something like Sieg Heil. With the raising of the hands. Oh, okay. Back to the weird, creepy cult, Christian revival, tent ceremony, Joseph Goebbels rock concert thing.
Stretch your hands and pass President Trump. These are some of your greatest faith leaders that would love to pray over you. Pastor Jensen's going to start. Apostle Maldonado. And we love you. Will everybody just stretch our hands towards the president before he gets up, because we know that prayer makes a difference.
Lord, I thank you that America didn't need a preacher in the Oval Office. It did not need a professional politician in the Oval Office, but it needed a fighter and a champion for freedom. And Lord, that's exactly what we have. I thank you, Lord, that he doesn't claim to be perfect, but he is passionate. He's passionate to stop the merciless killing of the unborn. He's passionate to raise people from poverty, and 6 million have been moved from food stamps to the dignity of work.
And we pray, we stand with him and what he's doing. And Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. And Father, we give you the praise and honor. And we ask you, Father, that he can be the Cyrus to bring reformation, to bring change into this nation. And all the nations of the earth will say, America is the greatest nation of the earth. Father, I thank you. Use him this time. Release his power. I release the Holy Spirit upon his life, for the Holy Spirit to strengthen him, his spirit, soul, and body. And Father, I release wisdom from heaven. And I declare, God, that you use him to change the spiritual atmosphere of this nation.
What? I mean, what?
There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Lots of words.
My favorite part is that we didn't need a preacher in the White House. So actually not a man of God. And we didn't need a professional. I thought he was going to stop there. I was like, no kidding. We need a professional. We need someone who knows something about government. 6 million people, guess what Joe Biden did? Brought 10 million children out of a state of food and housing insecurity. That's Joe Biden, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump, 1 million dead. 1 million Americans dead of COVID. Because, you know, just shine a little light in there, drink a little bleach, swish a little mouthwash. 1 million Americans dead. I don't get it. And again, just a point of fact, I shared some of my Catholic upbringing. It has been a longstanding tenet and policy of the Catholic Church that priests are not to endorse politicians. Now, some Catholic priests have violated that. But I don't know about you. I, in general, think it's probably a good idea for faith leaders to stay away from political endorsements. You can talk about issues, but not explicit candidate endorsements, because it sets up what we've got now, which is like, oh yes, this guy's the good one chosen by God. That other one is a satanic demon. That is not what politics is. PJ texting in, 6 million off food stamps and back to work. Where's he getting that statistic from? No kidding, buddy. It's bull.
I found his phrasing really telling, too. 6 million removed from food stamps and returned to the dignity of work. Mm. So are you saying 6 million people stopped getting food stamps and you think that's more dignified than them getting food
stamps?
Because that's awful, actually.
Wasn't there something about Jesus Christ and some fishes and loaves?
Yeah, I think it was there were fish and loaves and he was charging $6.99 for each. And when people didn't have money, he turned them away.
I think that was it. And said, why don't you go back to work?
Yeah,
you're starving,
exactly.
But go to work.
Something like that.
Listen, I am not good. There is dignity in work. We all agree with that. But I don't know people who are starving or who are not eating who aren't working. What we have is a problem with working poor and food insecurity. It is solvable overnight in this country. It is light switch time. Not a single person and certainly not a single child in this country has to go hungry. Light switch, folks. I also like the guy who's like, and I declare that God shall blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, so God's taking orders from you?
Wasn't that cool? He's praying like, Lord, may you please. And then he just jumps I declare that you do
you
this.
You heard that too.
What?
Weird.
Oh, you're in charge of God too. That's interesting.
Those are some big britches. Okay. Because I want to just lean into this a little bit, If you are a person of God, if you're a person of faith, I say bravo, good for you. I don't mind political leaders talking about their faith either. I think that, you know, that's a real, do you attend church or a synagogue or a mosque? Are you a person of faith? That's fair fodder. I can't wait until we finally elect an atheist just for variety's sake, if nothing else. How would a Jewish person as president? A Muslim. I don't have any issue with that. What I do have an issue with is this is the good person, this is an evil person. And I have an issue with a thrice married rapist being embraced as if he is the only good. The guy that was like, well, he's not perfect. Well, that's saying something. A fraudster, bankrupted multiple times, doesn't pay his subcontractors, doesn't pay the little guy, rapist, liar, not perfect. Mm-hmm. That's one way to put it. But here's what. Forget all that. If you want this a man to be the poster child of Christianity, I would think that he would be better at answering these kinds of questions. Let's listen to Trump on Bloomberg. This is from August 26, 2015.
Questions. I just got one more because you used the word Christian.
Hold on. I do not have it ready before we go to break.
That's okay. Well, you don't go anywhere. We're going to take a couple messages and we're going to listen to a couple of questions posed to the guy who's supposed to be the poster child for Christianity. I think if you're the poster child for Christianity and so warmly embraced, and if you're God's chosen one to lead our country, you might be able to answer these questions well. If you'd like to hear directly from Trump about the depth of his religious fervor and his devotion to God, you're not going to want to miss the sound coming up after the break. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. Back with more in just a moment. Keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves. Welcome back, Wisconsin. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got our last segment of the day, 855-75-CIVIC. You want to get in on the action, 855-75-CIVIC. So they're laying hands and praying over Trump at these rallies. Again, I'm going to call a Trump rally. I think I got to write this down. A mix of Joseph Goebbels, 1939, rock concert, cult plus Christian tent revival. That's what it is. It's a little silly. You know, have you ever had that moment where you're looking around, you're at an event or something, you're looking around and you're, I'm an interesting company here. Perhaps this is not the best room for me to be in. You ever had one of those moments? Yeah. That's what I got off. To me, maybe we should run a little civic media experiment. I got to go to one of these things.
Oh, geez.
Just buy a ticket, hang out.
You could go with Pete Schwabe. He went into the rally yesterday and had a wild time from what I heard. So yeah, we'll get you in there.
I'll be reaching out. Me, you, and Anya, we're going to go get some raw footage.
Whoa.
All right, not you.
Put my name in the hat? Hold on.
Not you. You don't have to go. I'll go. Maybe we'll bring a whole goof troop of civic media folks.
There we go.
Conscientious objectors at the tent revival cult Goebbels 1939 rock concert thing, a.k.a. a Trump rally. Okay. But this guy is... literally talks about himself as if he's Jesus. He talks about himself in martyr language. He talks about himself as they're coming for you. I'm the only one that stands in their way. It's very explicit Messiah, messianic messaging. There's a good one. Messianic messaging. And of course, they fuel conservatives' fear with the sorts of lies that they spun over the Easter weekend. And if you're going to be the poster child for Christianity in the United States, I would think that you would be able to answer a couple of baseline questions. And if you can't, I think it sort of disqualifies you from being the poster child for Christianity. So let's listen to the first one because it's wild. This is Trump on Bloomberg back in August of 2015.
I have been against from the standpoint of Bible, from the standpoint of my teachings as growing up and going to Sunday school and going to church. And I've been opposed to it. And we'll just see how it all comes out.
Talking about gay marriage.
You know, if I was ever in that position, I just have to explain it.
Okay. You mentioned the Bible. You've been talking about how it's your favorite book. And you said, I think last night in Iowa, some people are surprised that you say that. I'm wondering what one or two of your most favored Bible verses are.
Well, I wouldn't want to get into it because to me that's very personal. You know, when I talk about the Bible, it's very personal. So I don't want to get into
there's
verses.
No, there's
I
don't no
want
verse.
To
get
a 5-year-old kid who has gone to church twice could probably come up with a favorite Bible verse. This is very Sarah Palin.
Yes. Yeah.
Circa 2008. Like, oh, you like newspapers. Which ones do you read? All of them. Very Palin-esque. When somebody's like, well, I don't want to tell you what I actually think or make any reference to something specific, it means they don't know squat.
They don't even know enough to guess, I think.
Correct.
Is part of it too. Yeah.
That is exactly it. Now, he got another crack at the question. Somebody helped him clean it up. This was at a different time on an AM talk radio show. This is going to be cut number 3 on you. He gets asked the same question again. Guess that he can't make it up. Just play track 3, will you?
Is there a favorite Bible verse or Bible story that has informed your thinking or your character through life, sir?
Well, I think many. I mean, you know, when we get into the Bible, I think many, so many. And some people talk an eye for an eye. You can almost say that. That's not a particularly nice thing. But, you know, if you look at what's happening to our country.
Okay.
I
mean, there are many, many verses. I like the many verses. But if I had to pick one, I like the angry, wrathful God of retribution in the Old Testament. I mean, what? Mark from Prairie du Sac called earlier, pointed out that Matthew verse 25 goes on at some length. Matthew verse verse 38 basically disavows the eye for an eye message of the Old Testament.
So if you like many verses in the Bible, all of the Bible,
then you would know about the New Testament. It's insane. So, okay, on baseline question number 1, fail. He gets an F. Again, not talking about the raping and the lying and the defrauding and cheating and stealing. Just ignore that because, you know, he's not perfect. The cognitive dissonance here is at 100. I don't understand how people, I can't get it to square. I can't. But then to top it all off, if there is one thing that is the defining characteristic of Christianity that differentiates it from all other religious systems of belief, it is this question that Trump cannot answer.
Questions. I just got one more because you used the word Christian. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? That's a tough question. I don't think in terms
it
of
is?
I'm a religious person. Shockingly, because people are so shocked when they find this out, I'm Protestant. I'm Presbyterian.
Shocking.
And I go to church, and I love God, and I love my church. And Norman Vincent Peale, the great Norman Vincent Peale, was my pastor. You know, he passed away, but he was a great... He wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which is a great book.
But have you ever asked God for forgiveness?
I'm not sure I have. I just go and try and do a better job from there. I don't think
so.
Yeah,
no, the whole foundational principle of Christianity, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I will give my life to absolve all of humanity for their sins, to bring them into everlasting communion of God through this act of forgiveness. But I, Donald Trump, have never asked for forgiveness. This guy? An eye for an eye, and I, speaking of which, have never asked for forgiveness. I don't know. Mystifying. That's it for this Wednesday post-election edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. I will be back tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about the junk science relating to transgendered folks to lift up and celebrate this past Sunday's Transgender Day of Visibility. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it is better when we stand together.